Video game high school. You know, every movie I've ever seen based off video games or the like has just been pure. Are we allowed to cuss on this? Because I'm about to say shit.
I wouldn't. We're gonna share this.
Okay, so no cussing.
I guess so. What do you think?
Well, I'm just being my natural self right now.
I gotta be my natural self.
Yeah, I can't censor myself. So every video game, movie, and the like I've seen, it's kind of pure shit. So that's what made me think that this was not going to be good.
Yeah.
However, yeah. Quite an enjoyable experience, I'd say. I'm Joe.
I'm Danny.
Get to know my voice, you'll be hearing it.
And we're going to review Video Game High School.
This is a movie, in case you're wondering.
It's on Netflix.
Released in 2012. Not that I'm looking at IMDb, I don't know if I'm looking at...
We're professionals.
The series or the movie. You watch the movie. This movie was directed by Matthew Arnold and Brandon Lietz.
Yes.
I don't know how you pronounce
that. Matthew Arnold and Brandon Lietz.
Lietz. Sorry, guy, we're butchering your name. And it starred Brian Ferenczi, Josh Blaylock, Johanna Brady... Maybe. I don't know. And Jimmy Wong. Now, the first thing I have to mention is the title immediately made me think this movie is going to be terrible.
Me too. I had the same feeling. It's not what I expected.
So the premise of this movie is it is set in a universe or a world where video game professionals is like the sport. And because of that, there's a professional high school where all the top gamers go, and they got all sorts of categories. You got first-person shooter, rhythm, racing, all this stuff, and they all kind of meet here, and they compete, etc.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Harry Potter type of story, where this kid kind of gets discovered because he's playing like online FPS called...
Field of Fire. Is that it? Yeah.
He kind of gets discovered because the top like gamer of that game is on a talk show, and he's like online playing it live on a talk show, and then he gets beat by this kid, and then next thing you know, he gets a letter in the mail that says you're invited to video game high school.
Oh yeah, kind of like Harry Potter.
And that's Brian D. That's the character.
And so he goes to this school, and he has a rough go of it because everyone's like, oh, you beat the top guy, you must think you're hot shit, blah 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 blah. Things don't start out well for him.
It's kind of the whole movie's like, you know, he's like trying to fit into this high school and he doesn't really fit in and everyone thinks he's, you know, trying to be like show offy and he's just like, it's just a new place. I'm just trying to fit in, guys. I'm just trying to fit in. Don't, come on.
Everyone assumes he's a one-hit wonder. And
yeah.
They treat him as such. But little do they know, Brian D's got some fight in him.
Yeah, so it's like an action comedy that takes place in a fictional universe where video games are the number one topic in world affairs. And there's a high school that, you know, you can go to where you can train to become a video gamer. Many a fantasy of
what happens when you graduate?
Of gamers.
They never really talked about that.
They never really do talk about that. Like, do they get paid? Is it a career after that? They don't really say. They don't really say.
Well, that's besides the point. It was very clever. I had a lot of good sight gags. I had a lot of great video game references that I definitely appreciated.
There was a lot of video game references. There's a lot of good characters.
I was completely surprised. I thought it was going to be low budget, terrible. But a lot of the actors had so much more charisma than I would have ever figured. I mean, I don't know how many times I laughed at this movie just because of the actors and the way they delivered a line, their facial expressions. It was very well done.
There's a lot of funny lines, a lot of funny writing.
Good writing.
Yeah, lots of great one-liners.
It's got a couple characters. The Law is somebody that instantly comes to mind. I mean, he just oozes dick.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. You always got to have a guy. It kind of reminds me of, in a sense, just the way he oozes just douchebag. Thad Castle from Blue Mountain State. He's kind of got that same persona a little bit.
Yeah, and this is kind of like a high school comedy romp type of movie, except it's not gratuitous in any way, and there's not even gratuitous violence or sex or anything, but it is like a Blue Mountain State type of movie. It's like a high school romp. You know, it's like a high school comedy, like Degrassi or Saved by the Bell or even like Todd and the Book of Pure Evil.
Ugh, love that show.
It's kind of like that. I found a lot of similarities to that. Like, almost like a wholesome kind of humor to it.
I did find... This definitely reminded me of Todd and the Book of Pure Evil in ways. I mean, the delivery, the lines, the situations they found themselves in that were outside of the realm of realism, that were just hilarious.
Lots of cutaways, lots of breaking of form, and...
A lot of good sight gags, too. I remember one instance, it's very, very early in the movie. Brian D. goes AFK, that's away from keyboard for all you out there. One of the things they do that I definitely appreciate in this movie is that you don't just sit down and watch them play video games. What they do is they kind of toss away to this alternate reality where they are their gaming characters. They're actually in the firefight. They're actually, you know, driving the cars. I definitely appreciated that because that's the best way to convey video games, in my opinion.
That was... I really like that, too. I really like that style because if you are going to watch a movie about video games... It kind of seems like...
You can't just have somebody sitting down, clicking away at their controller, you know?
You can't have that, and even just wall-to-wall CGI animations are kind of like a throwaway, you know? They're kind of like... You're not getting your money's worth, but they actually had actors, they actually had sets, they actually had locations where they reenacted this fictional first-person shooter game, and they had... You know, live action sequences with all the actors with guns shooting each other as if in one of those warfare video games. And I thought that was really good, and I thought it was really effective and compelling. It wasn't a cutaway to just wall-to-wall CGI sequences.
No, it was definitely entertaining in that sense.
Yeah.
So because of that, one of the sight gags that I appreciated was when Brian D was running around and his character was just sitting there completely stone-faced because he was away from keyboard. But yet his mic picked up what he was saying in his house running around. And so he was just completely deadpanning his lines. And it just made for kind of a funny little scene.
It was a well-executed and inventive idea that, you know, we've all played those online games where you walk away from the video game and your character...
Who hasn't gone to the bathroom while they're playing? Yeah,
just exactly. Standing in the middle of a field and... So they took that and made it a live-action sequence where he's just standing in the middle of the field, and that's kind of the opening action sequence of the movie.
That's where you first meet the law, yes.
It's where you first meet the law, and that's where Brian makes his first ripples.
That's how he becomes known to the world, is because he comes back right when he needs to and performs a crazy move, kills the law, everyone freaks out.
Yeah, and he doesn't even know. He's just, to him, it's just a random online fighter, but unbeknownst to him, it's the law, and he's this great first-person shooter fighter, and he turns out to be the valedictorian at the school and everything.
That's pretty solid. Now, you have great performances by the supporting cast. You have his friend, the RA, who he first sticks up for. Is it Ted?
Ted.
Ted Wong, played by Jimmy Wong. Interesting.
Oh.
Jimmy Wong... Or Ted Wong, depending on you're talking about the actor or the character. Very hilarious. I thought he did all his lines. He had a way of presenting himself
He had a good character. He was almost like a sidekick, but then there was...
Definitely a sidekick character.
There was this whole romantic side story with him and Key.
Key. Well, and Key Swan, played by Ellery Porterfield.
Yeah, and that was a great little side story, and, you know, it was like this romance. Key and Brian go to the school at the same time, and then Brian meets Ted, and then through their mutual friendship, Ted and Key get together, and they become friends, and then they become romantic with each other. There's a great party sequence in the movie. And they don't just do FPS video games, but they also... There's a scene where they are playing one of those realistic racing games, and it's in actual sports cars where they're racing across the track.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of neat. I mean, they definitely had to go and grab some people to actually do this driving, or maybe it was... speaking of, Ted and Key's relationship brings to mind another great sight gag that they never fully bring attention to, but you see it, and it's hilarious. Every single time Ted is with Key, he's performing the hover hand. And I've always appreciated that. It cracks me up every single time I see it, and they played it up to the best they possibly could. And for those of you who don't know, hover hand is when you're... It's when the less socially adept people kind of... They're with a very attractive girl, and they're like, oh, should I place my hand on her? But then she'll think I'm creeping on her, blah, blah. So I'm just going to pretend I'm putting my hand around her, but leave it about 6 inches from actually touching her.
Yeah, it's those details that make it great. And
it's very... It knows this audience. It plays up to it.
Another example is when... how Key and Ted first become boyfriend and girlfriend. Key mumbles something, and Ted says, "You want to be my girlfriend?" Or something like that. It, like, he takes the mumbling the wrong way, but then they end up getting together from it anyway. And
I think she was making notes in her little notebook.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, "Wait, did you say boyfriend?" One of my favorite things that they did, and it's just very subtle. Well, it's not very subtle, but... They only did it for a little bit, but it was a homage to Majora's Mask, one of my favorite video games of all time. It's one of the lesser-known Zeldas. Not lesser-known, but lesser-appreciated, in my opinion. They did the countdown, like, 7 hours until tryouts. And they flashed the graphics that were on the screen that Majora's Mask did. That was one of my favorite little nods to gamers.
Yeah.
What was yours? What was one of your favorite?
I like this. I'm not that much of a gamer. There was a cutoff very early. I never played Majora's Mask, and
see,
I don't
that's
play.
Disappointing to me.
I don't it play. I know. And I've never really gotten into.
What about
like,
Ocarina's Time? You played Ocarina's Time.
I've played time, a little right? bit of that, but not a lot of it.
Did you watch your brothers beat it at least? That sort of deal.
That's it. Yeah, okay. I watched my brothers beat it. I played some video games. I beat some video games, but I don't have as wide a knowledge as this movie is clearly catering its audience to. I mean,
I'm sure there's some references I missed as well, but
yeah. But I liked the movie. Like, I enjoyed it anyway. You know, like
you don't have to be the most hardcore gamers to appreciate all the stuff they did.
No, you don't. It's a good comedy in itself, even if you don't get all the references. And I kind of have the feeling it's one of those movies where there's just, like, a ton of Easter eggs in there that...
Definitely.
Even the most seasoned gamers don't even catch. But there's, like, yeah, there's good ones. There's obvious ones, too, of, like... There's this one sequence where he, like, runs up stairs and has
to... Oh, yes. He needs to get his ID pass later on in the movie, kind of near the end. But he gets his pass stolen that you need to swipe in to sign up for the genre of gaming that you're going into. And it's in a total homage to classic Mario.
Yeah.
Super Mario Bros. Where you finish a level, you got to run up the stairs, and you got to jump to the flag.
Exactly. So, stuff like that was, like,
very clever. I mean, they set it up in a way that's not too obvious, but as soon as you see it, you're like, that is absolutely what they're doing, and God love them for it.
It tries to cater to a pretty broad audience, I think. Even those who just are into old-school games rather than, like, the modern games. And it doesn't concentrate too much. It's more about the gags and the comedy than anything else. And the stories and characters. It's not really about... It's not so much about just being about nothing but inside references and inside jokes. It's not like watching, you know, Red versus Blue or something.
Right, right. And it's not just video games that they riff off. It's pop culture in general. Like, one of the first scenes is the law goes on to a show that definitely makes you think of The View. And it's three chicks just sitting around, they're discussing stuff, but instead of discussing whatever The View discusses, I'm not really sure, but they're discussing video games, and they're really excited to have the law on there because he's the big... He'd be akin to, like, one of the biggest name actors coming on to the show. They get super pumped up to have him there. There's all these people freaking out in the background, like the Today Show. It's definitely a play on popular culture as well as video games.
Yeah, that's the detail of how it takes place in an alternative universe. Everything on television and revolves around like how well everyone is doing in video games. Something that I like about the movie a lot is the style. You can tell it's low budget. You can tell that they're supplementing a lot of stuff with probably cheap special effects, since special effects are so cheap these days.
It kind of reminded me of District 9 in a sense, because yes, it was very obviously low budget, but at the same time, the special effects that they went for were very well done. Like the whole whenever anyone got shot in the first person shooter, for example, they had this sort of way of conveying that where they went all kind of scattered, like
They kind of became pixelized.
Pixelized, yeah.
They became like pixelized, and that's what I like, because
it was well done. It looked very good.
It was well done. It was compelling. It looked good. And there's a lot of concern about like video games being too gory and too realistic in the violence. And this really shows an aspect of video games in a positive light, which is that it's just play. After all, it's just play. They're just playing this game, and it's not serious. And you don't get that sense of gore and that sense of grave violence that sometimes is misconstrued by critics of video games.
Very misconstrued, in my opinion. Very misconstrued. I mean, if you have trouble differentiating between video games and real life, then obviously you have troubles thinking in a normal manner anyways. You know, it's... That's neither here or there, but that's definitely a hot topic for me. That's
yeah.
Like I definitely don't appreciate when people try to get all ridiculous about video games.
Yeah, and I think that most video gamers and video game culture in general, it's about play, and it's about having fun, and it's about fantasy.
That's actually the tagline of the movie, and something that comes up a lot is it's about the game.
Yeah.
I remember the Dean... Or whoever that is. What is...
I'm going to look up his character. The Dean.
That would be a Harley Mortenstein. Mortenstein, possibly. I'm not sure. Plays Dean Calhoun, who is a great character. He definitely made me bust up laughing a couple times. And Danny, for the record, you are absolutely correct. That is the guy from Epic Mealtime.
It's the guy from Epic Mealtime!
I just looked that up.
I was watching this movie, I thought, is that the guy from Epic Mealtime? Joe just found out on IMDb. It is the guy from Epic Mealtime. That's another plus in this movie, is that guy. That
great
hilarious
character.
Guy.
Cracks me up.
He's one of the funniest characters. And there's also...
Chuck from the show Chuck.
The guy... From Chuck, he's in it too.
He's one of the he's the first person shooter teacher, and he has some great deliveries, some great lines of his own. There's just I love about this movie is each character definitely knows their place. They have great lines to deliver. I mean, every single character is played up, or as little as they should be. I mean, the law is definitely in your face, kind of a douchebag, everyone loves to hate him sort of character. Brian D's sort of the everyman that you can rally behind. Key is definitely the kind of the shy chick that you really learn to love.
She's the Hermione.
Jenny
She's the Hermione.
The, yeah.
She's the brilliant hottie.
The brilliant hottie, yes. And then Jenny is Brian D's main love interest, and
yeah.
She's obviously the most popular girl in school kind of persona.
She is. And she is, like, also one of the best gamers in the school. That's how they first meet.
Yes.
And everything. And
and it's also got some great bit characters, side characters, such as Games Dean.
Games Dean was one that I liked, even though he was a dislikable character, but I liked...
He was a dislikable character at first, but then later on some things happen, you're like, okay, good for you. And then there's also I don't even know his name, it's going to take me a second, but the Drifter guy. What was the Drifter guy that
King
Ted...
King Drifter, I think it's just called King Drifter.
King Drifter that Ted ends up siding with. Great character. I mean, just, he was so intense in every single one of his lines.
He had a very...
He was just ridiculous, and you're like, what is this guy about? I mean, he was just way too intense for every scene. At first, you're like, what the heck is going on? But then you kind of learn to appreciate the more he's on screen.
He had a very hilarious persona that was you know, he talked like in old English and stuff, and yes. He's just one of these guys, he takes himself way too seriously. And it was funny. Those little side characters like that, like,
they made the movie. The side characters definitely made the movie.
James Dean.
Like James.
It's a tongue twister if you don't think ahead of time.
About 3/4 of the way through the movie is where they do a flashback sort of thing. It was like last time on Video Game High School. And they go into this great... Remember when they're...
They kind of exaggerate what just happened in the movie. And they make all the scenes more extravagant.
Yeah.
And it's really funny because this is always the part of comedies when they try to integrate a little drama into it where it gets boring for the audience, I think.
That's my one main nitpick with the movie is it about halfway through to about 3/4 of the way through, it definitely started to take itself a little too seriously. There's something that I don't necessarily appreciate in movies is that they feel the need to throw a romantic story into it, like Pearl Harbor. It's like it was not necessary. There's a new movie coming out based off the Battle of Stalingrad that the trailer looks amazing, but then they toss in this love story, and you're like, eh. And it's kind of like what they did with this movie is it had me hooked from the beginning. I laughed within the first minute, and then they kind of got bogged down with the romantic story, and it took itself too seriously, and everyone was feeling too bad for themselves. And I guess that's necessary. I mean, you definitely have to have that. It's one of the ways to convey a story is you gotta have the highs, and then you gotta bomb down to the lows, and then they build themselves back up. But I felt it just started to drag a little bit.
I think it was...
It didn't necessarily ruin it, but it kind of lost its momentum that it had for the first part.
Yeah, I think that's attributed to just being like the high school comedy slash romance. You just get to put that romance in there.
Within that context, high school romantic.
But it's I kind of equate it to like Judd Apatow movies. So often they are great comedies, and then 2/3 of the way through the movie, you just it gets boring. Like, I'm sorry.
Zach and Mary is a movie where it comes to mind instantly when I think of a movie that was hilarious, that was great, and then it just got into the romantic part and just died.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, totally. That's another example. But another movie that this movie reminded me of was near the end, I realized that it kind of did remind me of, oh, God.
Excuse me.
Your favorite movie, Michael Cera.
Are you talking about Scott Pilgrim?
Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Oh, my God, that is my favorite movie.
This movie...
People out there, if you've not watched Scott Pilgrim versus the World, you should definitely do so. It's my favorite movie. You don't have to like it, but if you don't like it, then you're wrong and I hate you.
It's a great movie, and it does a lot of non sequiturs and jokes, and it even takes place in Canada. And
did this take place in Canada? Is this a Canadian movie, Video Game High School?
You know, I've just kind of assumed that, but I don't know for sure.
So too. Something about it.
I don't know for sure. The only reason I think that is that his uniform has a Canadian flag on his arm, on his sleeve.
It did. Good observation.
I assume it's Canadian, but I really don't know. But, yeah, it is kind of like that, where they have... It is, like, fantastic imagery, and it's visceral, kind of, and
the writing is just, like, the one-liners, the writing is just...
There's one-liners, gags, comedy, and, of course, there's a lot of video game references in Scott Pilgrim, too.
Definitely.
Like, the Zelda sound effects and everything, so I like that.
I didn't... No, I'm a little disappointed in myself that I didn't even make that connection. Because I love that movie.
It's okay. I mean, Scott Pilgrim's such a standalone movie. It's hard to even compare it to anything else. But I think this movie is like a lesser kind of effort.
It definitely is. Now that you mention that, it definitely is great in a lot of the same ways. Like, I can see... Yeah, it's like a poor man's Scott Pilgrim where it's got the romantic interest that isn't meant to be, but then kind of is. And then, you know, all the sight gags and quick cutaways.
The evil ex-boyfriend.
Yes. The Law is like, is it Jason Schwartzman? He definitely is that kind of character where he's just cocky as F. And again, I'm not sure if I should be censoring myself, but he's cocky as F, and you'd love to hate him. You're like, God, this guy. And it's great in that respect.
Yeah, but he's almost likable. Yeah,
he's a little bit likable.
Just
I
like
love
Jason
a good
Schwartzman.
It's like just the way he delivers his lines and his insults, they're just, you can't help but like the way he is, while at the same time hating who he is.
Yeah, you can easily conceive him as hateable, but he's so cocky, and he's just so, you know, good at being a jerk.
One of my favorite lines was when the Law is confronting Brian D, and he's like, oh, I'm sorry that the love of your life is S and my D. And then he pulls out a comb and he combs his hair and he's like, styling my do. Just little things like that where it's almost two jokes in one. They make you think of one, you know, SMID, obviously suck my dick. But then they go another way and that makes you laugh. But then they go another way, styling my do, and then you laugh again.
It's
the writers that can make two jokes with one joke like that, that's good. That's good stuff.
That was one of my favorite jokes in the movie, too. It was like, that's like a perfect example of the humor in this movie, too, is that
allude to kind of a, what's the word? Vulgar. They allude to vulgar, but they're not at all.
That's the other reason why I get a Canadian vibe. It's that allusion to edginess, but not actually being edgy. Just being, you know, just being funny enough, and but still being genuinely funny without without resorting to like
that's
vulgarity.
That's one of the reasons why Todd and the Book of Pure Evil is so great. I mean, they definitely had tons of jokes like that. And I'm gonna go ahead and say, if you like Video Game High School, go ahead and look up Todd and the Book of Pure Evil. It's also available on Netflix. 2 seasons.
Yeah,
kind of the same type of humor. It really is.
Yeah, it is, and that's a very similar show. It's very similar to this. The humor's similar. It's a fantasy sort of, and it's a high school romantic comedy like sort of story. So it's, if you are into that kind of thing, Degrassi and
no, I never saw Degrassi. I'm not even sure what that's about.
It's kind of a comedy drama. It's like I don't know if you've ever seen Skins.
Never saw Skins.
Well, it's like Skins.
I'm not helping you out here
in
at
the
all.
UK, and it's like what's another? Well, the only thing that you can
I've seen Jersey
to,
Shore.
The only thing that you can really equate it to, you can't really...
I like how you just change the subject. You're like, I'm going to let you say that, and I'm going to just keep talking.
Well, it's not... Jersey Shore is in a class of its own, and that class is...
What class
in the gutter.
You know what? Everyone has their guilty pleasures.
I admit to it, too. I watch it.
I'm going
to
come out right now and say Jersey Shore is a guilty pleasure for me because... They're all so, you know, I don't have to tell you, they're ridiculous. But Pauly D and Vinny are two of the funniest people I've seen.
The only thing you could compare it to is like something dumb like the OC. The United States doesn't really have like shows like that where it's, or actually, I guess it's kind of like a show like Glee where it's like funny and then they try to make it really dramatic at the same time. And they don't really have many shows like that in the US, but that's.
I would say they do.
Yeah.
Friends, for example.
Yeah.
Comes to mind. As a show that is funny, but then they take themselves way too seriously at points, and they try to play up the whole Ross versus Rachel thing. That got old. So, and it's understandable why they would do that, because that is a universal theme. Everyone can relate to romance. And even if you can't, for all you forever alones out there, you can still definitely relate to the nerdy guy that picks up the hot chick. Or you can't relate, but... You can fantasize, at least. So it's definitely a universal theme.
Forever Alone. So that reminds me of another funny joke in there where the dean says something like, you think this is funny? You see any Rafflecopters, son? I just love stuff like that. There are, like, inside jokes like that. And the
every scene with the dean was great. Yeah. He was, that's, again, the guy from, what was it?
Epic Mealtime.
Epic Mealtime. Every single scene he was in, he killed it.
That guy was hilarious. If it weren't for the fact that your suspension of disbelief was lifted to the point where you believe that the live action sequence is happening inside a video game, if it weren't for that, it would look like a war sequence. And if they had gore, it would look like a war sequence. But you know that it's not a war sequence because it's supposed to be inside a video game. They really pulled that off really well.
So, for all you out there, what we're going to end up doing is we're not just necessarily reviewing movies and stuff. We're just reviewing stuff. That's why it's called What It Is, in case you're wondering.
Joe and Danny review stuff.
I mean, you're right here with us as we try to figure this out. This is groundbreaking. Are we going to do like a 5-star system sort of deal, like with a Roger Ebert sense of what is it trying to be and reviewing it off that instead of like a set stone scale?
I guess we should just, let's just do out of 5 stars.
Out of 5 stars?
Do you
want
to do that?
It seems
common. What about out of 100?
That seems too much. 100's a big number, man.
Yeah.
Maybe about 10.
Out of 10? Okay, of 10. I'll do it at 10. That sounds better than 5.5 stars. 8.5 sounds better than 5.5 stars.
5.5?
I mean 4.5.
Okay. This movie out of 10 for me is a... If I was Danny, I would say that, and then I would follow it up with a number.
You go first.
Okay, I'll go first. I seriously enjoyed this movie. I thought it... You know, it started off great. Definitely is the type of humor I enjoy. Like Danny brought up, that I'm disappointed I didn't think about. It definitely reminds me of Scott Pilgrim, one of my favorite movies. Love Edgar Wright.
Oh, don't be disappointed. You enjoy the movie.
I'm allowed to be disappointed.
That's all that matters.
I'm allowed to be. Come on now. All right. So, great sight gags. I thought the special effects for what they were very solidly done. Now, it bogged down in the middle a bit. For sure, in my opinion. But it picked itself back up. So I'm gonna give it like a solid 8, 8.5.
Is it 8 or 8.5?
8 or 8.5. I don't have to be decisive right now. Nobody said I have to be decisive. I'm 8 or 8.5.
I'm gonna go with 8.5 too. I said that number earlier, and it's not arbitrary. I think I give it a solid 8.5. I enjoyed it, and it was a cultural gem. Anyone who likes video games and being
humor.
A nerd and humor.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to enjoy this movie. It's one of those little, you know, people are always trying to find out what's on Netflix and that's entertaining. And this is one of those things you can look up on Netflix and have a good time watching it.
Yeah, so, you know what? Screw it. Let's live life a little bit. I'm going to drop the 8. I'm going to say 8.5.
Eight and a half. It's a solid 8.5.
Yep. Man, it was a very enjoyable movie. Definitely recommended by Joe and Danny.
Yes.
I'm Joe.
I'm Danny. If you have something that you want us to review, email us.
Now, here's the thing. We will review anything.
Anything.
Within
possibly.
Reason. Come on.
Within reason.
I know people.
We're kind of making it up as we go.
We're just
along.
Going. We're just flying by.
Are we going to... It's kind of like it's just our preference. Are we gonna review a banana slicer over a CD? I don't know. Probably it's good. I don't know. I think maybe I'd rather review a CD.
But who says we can't review banana slicing while listening to the CD? I mean, that's definitely within the realm of possibility.
That's a possibility.
Right here.
It's totally open.
It's like, you know what? This CD was pretty good, but I felt like this CD could have been better while slicing bananas.
Yeah, I could do it 2 at a time. I could.
That is what you just said right now.
Yeah, that didn't sound too. That didn't sound right. But I could. We could have like 2 reviews in 1 show if they're small. You know, they don't have a lot
absolutely.
To talk
we're
about
gonna,
or something.
We're just finding our way.
It's
out
pretty
right
open.
Now. We're just trying to have fun with it, and we're gonna review everything. We're gonna review, you know, movies, obviously, which we just did.
Yeah.
Video Game High School, great movie, watch it. We could review music, you could review. Let's get a fucking blender. Let's try blending stuff. You know? That's kind of been done though.
Food World processor. Blend.
Yeah.
Send us suggestions.
We would love suggestions because you guys obviously are different and you're thinking of different stuff.
We want to know what you're thinking about. We want to try new things. Don't deprive us. Send us.
I love trying new things. Well, should we mention what we absolutely won't review? Should we get
what
into
is
that?
It?
Illegal narcotics. I imagine that
illegal narcotics play. Probably not
as entertaining as it would be for you all to it hear us be. Drop acid and just go off. We probably won't do that.
Yeah, not stuff that's illegal.
I'm not saying we won't do that, but we probably won't.
Yeah, we probably just accessible stuff that you can buy at the grocery store, or like stuff like that would be great, and then view on the internet or media that's accessible to everyday people, you know, that'd be fine.
Because right now, this is probably it's one of the only ones we're gonna do in person together.
Yeah,
and then from there, it's gonna be on to Danny's gonna be in California because he thinks he's cool, and move to California. Now I'm going to be in Alaska, so it's going to be something that we're going to have to figure out and have a way of doing separately, but together at the same time.
Yeah, it's kind of a system where we're going to record the show in separate cities, so we both need to be able to have access at separate times. Otherwise, we tell you to send it to us, but because we're living in separate places, just tell us something that's accessible. We'll review it.
Yeah, do that.
All right, I'm Danny.
Okay, I'm Joe. Is that it?
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
All right, turn it off.
We landed
We're
it.
Done.